Hello again, Mike O'Connor, another Geezer cast, an audio-only one. That video stuff was a little too hard for me. And this one's a little longer than normal, so brace yourself. This is a rant about Wi-Fi, municipal broadband Wi-Fi stuff, which I think you, my unborn grandchildren, might really enjoy, because this will be sort of an insight into tech stuff that surely by 20 or 30 years from now will be quite quaint and quite antique. But it's all the rage right now. And I'm on a committee that was formed by the city to take a look at broadband in the city. And one of the things that is clearly on the agenda is whether the city should get involved in a municipal Wi-Fi broadband project. And this is a rant about why I think Wi-Fi is a bad idea. I'm all for municipal broadband. I'm all for even municipal wireless broadband. But I don't like Wi-Fi, and I decided I would just put all that stuff in a podcast and stick it out there for you, my unborn grandchildren, to enjoy. So this is going to be, I'm going to talk about hype and a little bit about the technology and a little bit about why the business of it is tricky and the providers that are involved. And sort of one of the big controversies is the business model. And talk a little bit about all those things and then wrap it up. So that, you know, the hype right now is unbelievable. It seems like every city in the U.S. at least, and maybe other parts of the world too, but mostly in the U.S. are taking a look at Wi-Fi. And the hypesters say, well, you know, it's going to solve the digital divide. It's part of, you got to have it in order to be a modern city. It creates economic development. Consumers really want it. And of course, then when people start to get skeptical about that, then they say, well, and we can use this same infrastructure to deliver services to city vehicles and stuff. And I think that the answer to all of those is not necessarily. I don't think that you need to build a new infrastructure in order to address the digital divide. And in fact, you may wind up not doing as good a job solving the digital divide because you'll get so distracted with this expensive infrastructure. I'm also not sure that Wi-Fi is essential to being a modern city. I think that good broadband internet access is, but I don't think that Wi-Fi fits the bill. Same deal with economic development and consumers' desire. I don't see it. I don't buy that logic. And for sure, I think that Wi-Fi is a bad infrastructure to deliver, especially secure city services across, like police and fire. I'll talk about it right now. I'm going to talk about the technology and why Wi-Fi in particular is not a real good technology for delivering broadband citywide. You got to understand that Wi-Fi was put together to distribute broadband in small spaces. It was designed to put broadband into houses and small office spaces. And one of the big drawbacks to Wi-Fi is that because it was designed for small spaces, when it goes a longer distance, it doesn't work well. And the reason is not because of a lack of power. It's because when you go longer distances with radio, you wind up with multiple copies of the signal getting to you at different times. And when those signals go further, the lag between the first one and the last one gets longer and longer, and Wi-Fi radios are designed to throw away any signal that gets there later than what it would expect to be getting inside of a house. So when you put the antenna 300, 400, 500 feet away, and then the signals bounce around a little bit, and some of them get there really late, the radios throw away all of the really late signals, and you wind up with pretty crummy reception. Not to mention the fact that Wi-Fi isn't designed to go through trees. It's not designed to go through hills. It's not, it's not designed to be an outdoor transport vehicle. And then on top of that, in St. Paul especially, a lot of our houses are made out of stucco. And the way you make a stucco house is you put a metal screen all over the outside of the house, and then you put stucco on top of that. Well, a metal screen that's grounded is sometimes also called a Faraday cage. And what it does is it blocks out radio signals, especially the kind of radio signals of high frequencies like Wi-Fi. So you wind up with crummy signals. And I've experienced it. I have a friend in Moorhead who is on the Moorhead system. And I was up at his house staying overnight one night and took a look at the Wi-Fi that he was using. And it's crummy. It just doesn't work well. It drops out. It's really slow. And it was constantly sort of dropping the signal. And you could see the antenna or the little gizmo from his house. It wasn't that far away. So, the hype is that when people say, oh, we're going to do Wi-Fi in your city, everybody sort of presumes that that means it's going to work everywhere in the city, and that's just not true. It's almost impossible to get Wi-Fi to work all over a city without so many radios that you can't possibly afford to build out the infrastructure. And what that means is that people usually, the provider types, usually overpromise, underdeliver, the projects go over budget, and everybody's cranky. And why are they cranky, really? Well, one of the reasons they're cranky, really, is because the financial stuff doesn't work. One of the things in my checkered past is that a gang of us put together an ISP about, almost 10 years ago, actually a little more than 10 years ago now. And we were, we did fine. We sold it about 5 years later. And we were pretty much profitable every month. There were a couple of months, but every quarter we were profitable. But not real profitable. ISPs are historically a really low margin business. GoFast put about 10 to 15% of gross revenue on the bottom line in most years. And that's pretty typical because internet access is pretty competitive, or it was back then. And costs are pretty high, and so you don't put much on the bottom line. Now, one of the things that was different about GoFast than these Wi-Fi proposals was that we didn't need to build out all the distribution infrastructure. We didn't need to build out a whole city's worth of stuff before we could sign up our first customer. And so our cost structure was systemically lower than what a Wi-Fi provider's cost structure is going to be, because we had one whole layer of the infrastructure that we didn't need to build. And even with that, even in the era of early high-speed access, charging quite a bit more than everybody is proposing now, we didn't make a whole lot of money. So when people come along with Wi-Fi proposals and say, we're going to deliver internet access for, at first, Philadelphia said for free. They've cranked it up to $20 a month now. I'm not believing it. And so I've got a little out in the links for this podcast, I've got a link to a model that I've got out there on the net that's just a financial model. And, let's do a little open source financial modeling. I've got a model out there that I think is pretty good. And it's very unprofitable. Go out to my site, suck down a copy of that model, fix it. Prove me wrong. I'd love to see a Wi-Fi proposal that actually made money, but I don't think they do. And on top of that, if they don't make money at like $20 a month kinds of rates, then how are we solving the digital divide with this stuff? I don't get that. The other thing that's interesting is that because you're taking on digital divide type customers, you're probably going to have higher support costs because these are people who are new to the internet. And one of the things that we at GoFast learned was that anything that goes wrong on your computer, if it's in any way connected to the internet, becomes the ISP's problem to solve, even if it's not an internet problem. So people would call up and say, my Microsoft Word spreadsheet doesn't seem to be working correctly. And we would be going, what does that have to do with us? Well, it has a link to the internet in it. And so we would wind up having to support all kinds of things that didn't have anything to do with the internet on all sorts of platforms. And you combine that with brand new users who are the kinds of folks that you would pick up if you were targeting the digital divide, and your costs are higher. They're not lower than normal. And I don't see how $10 a month internet access can work in that kind of an environment. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, that means that most of the providers that are going after these deals aren't sort of name brand providers. The people who have been successful doing wireless Wi-Fi internet access have largely been local people in small towns who didn't have to build out a lot of infrastructure and didn't have a whole lot of competition. So, you know, geeks like GoFast back in, you know, 10 years ago when the internet was really geeky. The kind of people who make wireless internet actually work are generally not the people who are bidding on projects in these big cities. For example, we've got a local company here in town called Stonebridge. The CEO of that company has just been indicted for wire fraud because he got into cash flow trouble. And it's easy to get into cash flow trouble when you're an internet provider because your expenses are pretty high and your revenue can come in a lot slower than your need to pay your expenses. And so this guy played fast and loose with basically he committed fraud. Not, I don't think, because he was a malicious guy, but because he was in financial trouble. And that's not unusual for these big wireless providers that take on municipal wireless projects, Wi-Fi projects, because these projects don't make money. Same sort of deal in Minneapolis. We just got a deal put together with a local internet provider called US Internet. God bless them. I sure hope they do great, but they've never done this kind of a project before. And they are taking on one of the most ambitious Wi-Fi projects I've ever seen with unusual technology. I'll refrain from being cranky about that. And meanwhile, the people I know who do know how to do internet access stuff are all sort of shaking their heads over these deals because they don't see how they can make money at it. So then you get into how does this get backed up? And one of the things that happens is very often cities get put on the hook to back up these projects. And this is one of the things that makes me really cranky about this deal. Because cities are generally really inexperienced at negotiating these kinds of deals. Milwaukee is right now in a whole lot of trouble with their contract because they can't get to a deal. And so the whole thing is at least a year late, maybe a year and a half. And one of the things is that each city sort of goes it alone. There isn't much regionalism going on yet. There's not much collaboration between the cities going on yet. And there are all kinds of models ranging from a city going out and saying, well, we're going to just do RFPs and let the best vendor win. And it's a totally private deal, all the way to very civic models where a lot of the infrastructure is owned by the city and all sorts of shades of private-public partnership of gray in the middle. So I would characterize this as a period of experimentation in which naive cities are going up against extremely sophisticated providers, and I think the providers are going to have their lunch. I also don't think this stuff is going to work, And so I think in a year or two or three, we're going to wind up with a whole lot of infrastructure out there dead, sort of like Ricochet, which was an attempt, a billion-dollar funded, venture-funded attempt that cratered, right in the middle of the dot-bomb collapse. So anyway, this is my rant. You know, I just don't like Wi-Fi projects because I don't think they work financially. I don't think they solve the problem that they're supposed to be solving, which is the digital divide and all this other good stuff. And I think they're a distraction for cities that are trying to do some very important things. One of the things my grandchildren that's going on right now is that the U.S. is really lagging the rest of the world in terms of both the speed of internet access that we can get and the cost that we have to pay to get that access, because we've basically got a duopoly in place right now. We rewrote the telecom regulations bill back in the mid-90s and teed it up so that the carriers really have all the power, and we're basically getting screwed here. And one of the things that I really worry about is that all this Wi-Fi stuff is going to distract us from that larger issue, and in the process, you know, we'll lose the momentum of sort of getting that problem fixed. So I don't like Wi-Fi also because it's a distraction. I, as I said, I don't think that Wi-Fi is a good way to solve the digital divide. And I care a lot about what the next generation distribution network looks like, because if we wind up with another carrier-controlled data distribution network like cable, when it comes to do the next generation stuff, which is most likely going to be fiber, that's it. I mean, we're completely at the hands of the carriers at that point. So Wi-Fi distracts us, I think, from that. And so I don't like it. So there. That's my rant about Wi-Fi. Kind of long. Sorry about that. Quite a bit longer than the normal Geezer cast. But a lot of stuff to pack in there. And I promise the next one will be a lot shorter and not nearly so grouchy. See you the next time.